Hi, this is Pastor Woods again, and I just wanted to put out my weekly podcast. You know, this is Super Bowl weekend in Phoenix, and everybody is just so excited, and all kinds of activities are going on, and it just seems like that, and the greatest show on grass, which is the golfing tournament that is put on by Waste Management. All these things are going on, and people are just beside themselves with excitement. I had originally planned to speak on the topic because of the football theme and everything. God never said we would be ahead at the half. He just said we'd win the game. I was going to tell about Joseph in Genesis and how, in spite of his many setbacks, and how, you know, he must have felt like he was so defeated most of the time, and yet at the end he won the game by becoming the second in command in Egypt. And then I wanted to include how Jesus was evidently beaten down at the half, you know, when he is so abused and beaten and crucified. When he died on the cross, but on the third day was resurrected and won the game, giving victory for all of us for eternity. God never promised we'd be ahead at the half. He just said we'd win the game. But as good as that message would be, somehow God is impressed on me with the message, two of the scariest lies. You know, two of the scariest lies on earth right now are so very prevalent. The first lie is, you are a good person. And the second lie is, because God is a loving God, he will not punish sin. These lies are told every day around our country and around the world, and sadly, people believe them. So let's consider these false statements. First, you are a good person. We are all good people. I hear that. At every funeral I've ever officiated at, people say, he was a good person, or she was such a good person, but they're in a better place now. You know, too many people believe and say, I do more good than bad. I do a lot of good deeds. I think by nature I'm a good person. Therefore, I know God's going to let me into his holy heaven. The reason that's a lie is because God says it is. Jeremiah 17, 9 and 10 says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind, even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings. Romans chapter 3, 9 through 12 says, what then? Are we Jews any better off? No, not at all. For we have already charged that all, both Jews and Greeks, are under sin, as it is written, none is righteous, no, not one, no one understands, no one seeks God, all have turned aside together, they have become worthless, no one does good, not even one. Then I'd remind you of Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You have the world and many of your friends, you know, that are trying to tell you that you're such a good person, and God just appreciates you. Maybe even your own heart is telling you, well, I'm really a good person. You know, there's so many liberal pastors that are teaching this very dangerous concept and lulling people into a false sense of security that will lead them to hell. They want people to feel good. They want to build them up so that they can reach their full potential and live their best life now. I got a kick out of Pastor John MacArthur. He said, if they believe that, they are living their best lives now, because the next one will be far worse. They also want to pad, these preachers also want to pad their finances and build their reputations. And so they don't want to make waves. They don't want to talk about sin or hell or repentance or any of that. Just, you're living your best life now and God wants you to be fulfilled. They would make you think that everybody is basically good and everybody is going to go to heaven. But then you read the word of God saying, when I look down, I don't see anyone righteous, not even one. I see their sin. Look again at Romans 10:10 through 12. None is righteous, no, not one. No one understands. No one seeks for God. All have turned aside together. They have become worthless. No one does good, not even one. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. And you know, compared to God's holiness, people are sinful and they deserve their punishment. You need to remember that God does punish sin and rebellion and how God has judged sin and evil throughout history. There comes a time when God says no more. Genesis chapter 6, 11 through 18. Now the earth was corrupt in God's sight, and the earth was filled with violence. And God saw the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted their way on the earth. And God said to Noah, I have determined to make an end to all flesh, for the earth is filled with violence, and through them. Behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make yourself an ark of gopher wood, make rooms in the ark, and cover it inside and out with pitch. This is how you are to make it. The length of the ark is 300 cubits, its breadth 50 cubits, and its height 30 cubits. Make a roof for the ark and finish it to a cubit above, and set the door of the ark in its side. Make it the lower second and third decks. For behold, I will bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh, in which is the breath of life under heaven. Everything that is on the earth shall die. But I will establish my covenant with you, and you shall come into the ark, you, your sons, your wife, and your sons' wives with you. Well, now, I'm sure there were people in Noah's generation saying, well, I'm a good person. I feel like I'm a good person. All my friends say I'm a good person. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that there aren't people that have good traits and all, but I am saying that we have a problem inside of us called sin that we need to have God take care of. But God, it says that back in Genesis, that God looked at the world and said, there's no one righteous there. I'm going to send a flood and destroy them except for Noah and his family. Everyone else I'm going to flood and destroy. It goes right along with the second lie that's so destructive when people say, well, how could a loving God punish? You know, ignorant people teach there's no such thing as hell. That hell is just an idea left over from the Dark Ages when the church and the priests tried to control people with that threat. I hear him say, I don't believe God's really going to punish me at the end of my life because a loving God would not do that. Again, look at his actions. Would a loving God flood the whole earth because people had become so wicked? Well, yes, he would, and he did. Understand, he is a God of love, but also a God that is holy and just and a God of wrath. Because he loves you, he has provided a way for you to escape his punishment for sin. He sent his son Jesus, who had no sin of his own, to atone for your sin and pay your penalty by dying in your place so you would not have to face God's wrath. John 3:16 and 17, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but the world through him might be saved. God loves you, but he hates your sin. He will not allow sin into his heaven again after the corruption it caused the first time. The only way you can get to heaven is to repent of your sin and ask God to forgive you and let Jesus Christ take charge of your life. God will not force himself upon you because you are a free moral agent. That means you have been created with the power of choice. You can choose which direction you're going to go. So it's up to you whether you choose to submit to God or to reject God and to end up in hell. God will not send you or anyone to hell, but he will let you make the choice to go there if that is your decision. When the Royal Canadian Mounted Police found a frozen body of a former atheist in a snowbound cabin, they picked up a note that he had written to his mother. It read, "The question that haunts me as I face death is not whether there is a God, but how I, as a sinner, can face him." What that man needed to know was God has taken care of his and your sin. The problem that you had, he has provided grace, which is unmerited favor. You can't earn it, but because of God's love, he has provided grace through the death and resurrection of his son, Jesus Christ. But there's a warning. Satan is at work with his lies, and Satan wants you to believe his lies. When you believe the devil's lies and obey them, then you experience bondage. God's purpose for you is freedom, and God's method for freedom is truth. The truth is that a loving God does punish sin, but because he is a loving God, you won't have to face that punishment if you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. Christ is the only one who can save you, not Buddha, not Allah, not Zoroaster, not Krishna, or any other so-called deity, just Jesus Christ, because he is the only way. John 14:6 says, Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Because of Jesus, we have real freedom. John 8:36, "If the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed." Because of Jesus, we are free from the penalty of sin. While Jesus was free from sin from his birth, we aren't. We break his laws, we fail him, we fall short of his requirements. We may claim that our sins are no big deal. We may attempt to excuse and cover up our sins, but God says we can't get away with hiding our sins because he knows what's in our hearts. Jesus comes along, the man born with no sin, and he took my penalty for sin. He took your penalty for sin because we could do nothing about it. And that's why he died on the cross to atone for our sins. And if we accept him, what he's done, we can be forgiven. That is what the cross is all about. On the cross, Jesus took yours and my punishment for sin and freed us from the consequences of sin if we choose to follow him. Because Jesus accepted the sentence of death, we deserve the death that we deserved, we are free from the penalty of sin. Because of Jesus, we are free from the power of sin. Jesus said in John 8:34 that everyone who sins is a slave to sin. While we are freed from the consequences of sin when we die after we've accepted him as our Savior, we often live under the power of sin while on earth. Sin creates horrible bondage. We try not to lie, but we do. We try not to be jealous, but we are. We try not to yield to temptation, but we do time and time again. We are slaves. Do you really want to be free? Then get to know Jesus Christ, trust him, love him, and obey him. And Jesus Christ can take that bent towards sin out of our hearts, that carnal nature, and make us new creatures in Christ Jesus. But again, you look at the book of Revelation. You know, people say, well, God doesn't punish. It's all about punishment. Look what this loving God does. In Revelation 20:10, it says, "And the devil who had deceived them was thrown into the lake of fire and sulfur where the beast and the false prophet were, and they will be tormented day and night forever and ever." To say that God is not a God who would punish sin, well, here he is tormenting someone, the beast and the false prophet, and they will be tormented day and night forever and ever without end. That's God. Look at Revelation 20:15. "And if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire." You want to avoid that. Give your heart to Jesus Christ. Get your life put in the book, your name put in the book of life, because Jesus Christ will forgive you and he will adopt you into God's family and he will make you part of his kingdom. And what a wonderful deal to know that we can be with him for all eternity. So you have this lie that everyone's telling you. You know what? If God's a loving God, he wouldn't punish sin. Yet, look at Revelation. And then they say, well, that's old school. That's something that was written a long time ago. No, Revelation is talking about the things that are going to happen. At some point, we have to ask ourselves, who is the authority? Is it the culture that says no punishment for sin? God's not a God of wrath anymore. He's changed. Or is it the Word of God that says, yes, he is a loving God, but he's also a God of wrath, and there will be a day of punishment? These are two very destructive lies. You are such a good person, and because God is a loving God, he will not punish sin. We have to look at God's Word and say, well, that's not what the Bible says. And because of that, we all need salvation from God. The world is trying to teach you, and Satan is doing his best to teach you that there's no punishment, that you're a good person, that you were born a good person. You don't have to be saved from anything. What the Bible says is, no, we need Jesus. We need what he did on the cross for us. We need him to save us and to help us to live the good Christian life. We can be a Christian, we can have eternal life, we can be forgiven of our sins if we will confess our sins to him. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You know, no matter where you are in the game of life, you might think you're behind at the half, but you can be sure that God has made it possible for you to win the game if you'll get on his team. Again, you know, people say, well, God never said we'd be ahead at the half. He just said we would win the game. And I'm inviting you to get on the winning team and know that Jesus Christ is able to take care of your needs and able to provide for you a home for all eternity. Praise God. Father, I'd pray that you help us each one, that we would realize what you've done for us, realize how much you love us. You said that you love the world so much that you sent Jesus to be our Savior, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. There are some that are listening to me today that are on the road to perishing. I'd pray, God, that you help them to realize all they need to do is reach out to you, because you're waiting for them and you'll be reaching back for them. I ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Thank you for listening. Again, if you want to get in touch with me, my email is lowercase revwmwoods@gmail.com. My mailing address is Box 4031, Sun Valley, Arizona, 86029. If you wanted to listen to my podcast, it's on the internet. It's under, in lowercase, Church of the Galilean. That's Church of the Galilean, GALILEAN.com. And you can listen to that, or if you really need to talk, my phone number is 623-845-2741. Thank you so much. God bless you. I hope that you're having a good day and that God will continue to lead you the direction you ought to go.